This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say. What's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
The Wednesday Week. The Sheffield Wednesday Fan Podcast.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. I'm back, and in the vein of the Amazon woke keynote speech, I don't think it was Amazon, was it? It was somebody else. My name's Dan Forge. I'm 6'3". I've got a large nose, and I'm referred to as him and that. So, good evening. How's it going? Is everybody all right? With me tonight, I've got Simon, Steve and Ash. Now, I was just looking back at some of our old catalogue and some of our names of the shows and stuff like that. And Ash, there was one that you presented back at the early part of the season called Positive Pants. You've got your positive pants on. And judging by our pre-show routine, I feel that those pants have fallen off. But we've got plenty of that to get through. So I tell you what, lads, listen. Let me put a positive slant on it.
And ladies.
Unbeaten in 9 games. Unbeaten in nine games. Ash, tell me why you're miserable about that. Come on, mate. Bloody hell. I know why. But I'm being all talk sporty. I'm like Adrian Durham.
No, I'm not. The stat, you can't lie with stats, can you? 9 unbeaten. It's good. It's great from how negative and what should we say? Just pissed off we are with a few results we had, and then to go 9. I know some of the draws in that we dropped 8. What was it? 8 points. So we've got 4 draws where we should have had 4 wins. That's probably the stat negative of it. But 9 unbeaten. You're right, Danny. It's good. And yes, we've had the Papa John's or whatever you want to call it. A win's a win, and that's all you can do, isn't it? What is it? Winning breeds winning, I think they say, or drawing breeds drawing. In our case, a lot of the time. But no. It's not as negative. You can pick negatives out, and I will, of course. But yeah, mate, unbeaten in 9. There's not many teams can say that. Not even Liverpool can say that.
Well, no.
Anymore.
God, they can't. Anymore. So let's start. So usually at this time of the year, it's an international break. I normally get a week off, but I've had the last 3 off. So I'm going to get you all together. Let's talk about some football. Let's talk about Saturday. So we had a, Sunday, sorry. Was it Sunday? I can't remember.
Yeah, Sunday. Yeah.
We seem to have played every Sunday. Other bloody day, don't we? So Sunday morning, live on the BBC. Magic
ITV.
Of the
ITV. Jesus, oh my God. Right.
Can we start again?
It was Friday on Channel 5, Dan, actually.
Friday on Channel 5.
Homes Under the Hammer.
Yeah.
Those are the stairs. Leading
it was
up to the
ITV and all. So, FA Cup on ITV on what I referred to as a Sunday morning. I mean, let's be honest, I didn't get home from work till 7 a.m. So I watched it through bleary eyes and it weren't a classic, were it, Si?
No, it weren't classic. I actually, my lad was playing footy, so I got to see the last quarter of an hour of the first half, watched second half.
Lucky bugger.
Yeah, I think I got the better half of the game. Obviously, they'd beaten us away, hadn't they, in the league 3-0. And I think that was the worrying thing because they're free-flowing. Second in the league, top of the league, I think.
Second,
Plymouth. Attacking football. So there was a little bit of a worry there. And we matched them man for man. And I think my opinion was we looked better in the second half and certainly when we brought Gregory on. And looking back at it now, obviously there was that save from Peacock Farrell, which everybody went mad about. But you know what? The wing clearance off the line was the one to go mad about. Jesus wept.
Yeah, he kind of biscuit wristed it a bit, didn't he?
He was going right at him
and he's ballooned it in his own net, essentially.
It was going in, you know, it was going in from his save. And the ITV, Jesus Christ, shocking, absolutely dreadful punditry.
What, from Lee Dixon? It can't be.
Corbiano was called, I don't know what they proudly pronounced his name, but in the end, it was like, I'm going to mute this.
Yeah. Probably listened to us a few shows back trying to pronounce them all.
But the wing clearance off the line was absolutely superb. We had chance to win it in extra time. And a trip on a Tuesday night to Plymouth, it's not what we need, is it?
Yeah. I mean, I think the worst thing about the commentary for me are two things, right? It's Clyde Tilsley, I think he's bloody awful. And I don't know if you remember. You remember when he got dropped from like the England games and he had to release this... That video to the camera like he was
conservatory.
What, you know what I mean? Like Marcus Rashford had done something bad in a game and he needed to release four paragraphs on Twitter. Do you know what I mean? He was like, listen, it's a really bad thing. But Clyde Tilsley for me does me head in. I don't think he did commentate on Sunday, but he's one of them that goes, he's always trying to get the next they think it's all over moment. You know what I mean? Seminal piece of commentary that everybody wants to be in. He speaks in sound bites and he absolutely winds me up and he's going, and there is Rashford! Like, you know what I mean? Like he tries to get one. And can he do this? No. Like, he's really bloody rubbish. And ITV, for years, from being a kid, you know what I mean? We've all said it, that they, I don't know what they do with their microphones. They've managed to sap the absolute life out of the game. You know, those times when...
That were the players, mate.
Yeah. The World Cup final. Do you remember when that used to be on ITV and BBC at the same time? And then you'd flick between the two and you'd always end up on BBC because one, you didn't want adverts and two, it was just better. You know, anyway, so ITV, you know what I mean? The coverage was there, it's great that we're on television, but for me it's when they get pundits on that trying to pretend like they know how Sheffield Wednesday have been getting on in the season, and they go, well, he's a really good lad, this Shadipo. I think he's really, you've got no bloody idea, get in the bin.
Was it the second round of the cup? I think it was, wasn't it? And he came out a statistic of Wednesday haven't got knocked out the second round of the cup in over 100 years. and then it was something along the lines of, well, actually they've only been in the second round of the cup four times or something.
It was the first round.
It was a really shit statistic because of the amount of times we've actually been in the first round has been very few. So
lovely.
It was rubbish.
I mean, there's hundreds of things I can use that analogy with, but I won't. But
yeah. Now, Steve, the game itself weren't exactly a classic. I mean, did you see some improvement? You know what I mean? Did you see? You know, we didn't get spanked 3-0, but we were at home. Did you see that we felt tighter at the back? I mean, you know, everybody seems to be changing their mind about Johnson at the minute.
Yeah, to an extent.
Controversial, Steve.
With Johnson, we've got some time to fill, so we'll get to Johnson in a bit. The game itself, it was a funny one. I think we talked about it last week. We mentioned the fact that, or I mentioned the fact that after the Sunderland game, I think it was Vic was saying that she wasn't bothered about the cups. She wasn't going to come to the game. She just wanted to get it over with and let's concentrate on the league. And my feeling was coming out last Tuesday and going into Sunderland yesterday, as it is, as we're recording tonight on Wednesday, if we'd have got knocked out of the FA Cup on Sunday and we'd have lost to Harrogate at home yesterday, whatever sides we put out would have had a detrimental effect on any sort of momentum that we'd sort of begun to sort of get into, you know, after the Sunderland game, which I think again maintain even now a week and a bit later was a fantastic evening, fantastic performance. I thought the game itself was quite nondescript. There wasn't anything necessarily overly memorable. I think we handled them a lot better than we did against Plymouth, obviously, at Plymouth, because obviously we didn't concede the goals that we conceded there. Other than the Peacock Farrell save, I don't think there was necessarily too much to panic about. I think I'll stand corrected, I think they shaded possession. But there were plenty of chances to be at both ends. It was all right. If you go back to Plymouth, when we played in September, I think it was, the fact that we've got Dick 3-0 and then we've turned up and everybody had a little bit of apprehension. Let's make no mistake about it. Where we were on the telly the other day because we're Sheffield Wednesday and we were playing the top of League One. At the time of the draw, they were the highest ranking team in the competition. So everybody had eyes on this game. Mm-hmm. I'd argue that, you know, Plymouth might have gone into it as the favourites. I didn't see any betting odds or anything like that. So for us to get not a result, but for us to actually get into, you know, the nil-nil rather than a defeat and the side that we've put out, I think, to be honest with you, it indicates that we've made progress over the last few weeks. Is Sunderland a bounce point? I don't know. Are we going to kick on from here? I don't know. You can't legislate for anything that happened last night with Harrogate, because that was a totally different side, a totally different setup, and I'm sure we'll discuss that later. I don't want to truncate the podcast, if you like, but I think I would, given everything that had happened and everything that where we were in terms of the results and the performances that we'd had over the last sort of six or seven games with the draws and the mistakes that we've made that had led to draws, I was relatively happy with the way that we set out and relatively happy with the way that we played.
I mean, go on, Simon.
I think what it did show, and what we saw at the Sunderland game as well, which was a difference to the Cheltenham game, was that Johnson, Dunkley and Palmer are starting to gel together as a back three. And Dunkley and Johnson are starting to change people's minds about them. And it did show against Plymouth that, you know, that they were throwing themselves in front of the ball. And Dunkley is coming out of the last two games, obviously didn't play yesterday, changing a lot of fans' minds about how he's playing, certainly mine, Johnson too, which was a marked change from what I saw down at Cheltenham, mm-hmm. where, you know, they look players who look disjointed and didn't look part of a back three. You know, you can always, Palmer, I mean, Steve and I were talking about it the other night. You know, I'm a great fan of Palmer as well as Steve is. I think he's a great player, and always puts a shift in. And what we weren't seeing was
Ash.
We weren't seeing that from Dunkley and certainly Johnson, and we saw that the last two games. So I think that's a big difference. I think that's a big difference.
I think Ash is going to jump in before. Listen, the part, and I know I get a lot of stick privately and publicly about the Palmer situation. Let's put that to bed straight away. Palmer is above average. He's not all my son. He's not my boyfriend or my son. All right, but he's when you look at a Dunkley or an Iorfa or a player of that sort of ilk, if you like, they are revered as being absolutely. You know, Dunkley's virtually the second coming at the moment. After the last couple of games, he's been an absolute phenomenon.
Yeah,
but being, you know, next to him, to the right hand side of him, you've got Palmer, who's just quietly going out about his business, doing everything he needs to do, making very few mistakes, if any, just getting on with the game. You know, I'm not saying, and I say it every week, he's not the best player that we've got, but he's essential because he doesn't drop bollocks like other people do, and he's essential because he's, you know, he's the fabric of the club.
Well, let me look at it from a different way, though, Steve. He offers fuck all. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think they wanted us when the team sheet came out. I was like, I don't know what formation we're playing. The way they had 3-5-2 written down, like Corbino was on the left wing back or some shit.
And Patterson on the right wing back.
I could work out what was going off, but in terms of Palmer himself, yes, yeah. That player that was prone to a few mistakes that he's never been forgiven for about what 5-6 years ago, where he would drop the odd clanger, and they are now very few and far between over the season. That's great, but it's like giving yourself a pat on by the back for not being a serial killer. You know what I mean? Like hey, I've not murdered anybody this week.
Ever so slightly harsh.
That must make me a good serial killer. Like, do you know what I mean? Like I don't.
Well, that's what we need. That's what we need in the side is somebody who's just going to go. Oh,
good. This is it. This is not murder anybody.
A good finisher. He's not going to murder anybody.
This is how far we've dropped down. That we're patting a player on the back for not fucking up. Stop fucking up and do something that does something good.
But it's not just that. Do you know what? And I'll sit and I'll watch him. Joking aside, I'll sit and I'll watch him. He does things that other players technically don't do. His touch, his reading of the game, his understanding, the way that he plays balls down, the little things that we don't see, he does. He's not going to be the player. I'll give you an example. Brennan last night, was it the second goal or the third goal where he's pinged the ball across the pitch?
Yeah.
Palmer's not going to do that.
No.
Palmer is not going to do that. He's not. No. He's absolutely not. Anybody, but Stevie,
Brennan did it once.
Palmer, and we scored from it.
But Palmer's got the ability to do it once. It's not like it's Bannon where he tries it 5, 6, 7, 8 times a game. So he has got the ability to do it, surely. But
I'm not saying that he hasn't, but he's a player that is going to play the percentages. One thing I would say, if you look at the Premier League FPL fantasy, if you play fantasy football, and you go and sign the most expensive players, who are the players that score the most points? The players that score the most points are your Salahs, your Fernandes, your Mane's, Ronaldo's. Those players that are the £12 million players are going to score the highest points. There's not many people that are going to argue, or there will be an argument made for the fact that Kante is probably the best central defender or defensive midfielder or CDM in the league. They've got him in at like 4 million.
Yeah, and he's because terrible at fantasy because he doesn't do anything.
He doesn't do anything.
On paper for what you judged against on fantasy. Yeah.
But that's Liam Palmer.
Yeah.
I'm going to call this episode Palmer as good as Kante.
You'll generate
some listeners.
Dan, you'll have somebody at work.
He's gone there.
You'll have somebody at work who just comes in and they work behind the bar and they just work like a fucking Trojan. They pour pints, they make cocktails. And then you have somebody who thinks he's Tom Cruise, who flips them all around and thinks he's fucking brilliant. Cocktail. And he drops more half of them more than he actually pours, right? And you've got Mr. Reliable and you've got Mr. Showboat that the girls like watching. But meanwhile, Mr. Reliable's earning you money, right?
Yep.
And that's Palmer.
Hang on. Okay, that's a great analogy. Okay. Who's having a better time? In terms of the customer, who are they enjoying watching the most? The customer, the person chucking the beer around and having fun at work and having a great time and dropping some shit, or the guy that's just 25 milliliters of vodka put left in there, 25 milliliters, and then I'm just going to give it a shake and I'll take 50, please.
You're absolutely right, but before he gets to pour the vodka and before he gets to do the shake, we have to bottle the vodka. We have to make sure that the vodka's got the right label on it. We have to make sure that that vodka goes on the shelf. We have to make sure that we've got enough mixer. And we've got to make sure that the glass...
So he's the day shift. Is that what you're telling me?
I think Stevie's having a dig at you there, Daniel. After your history, I think Stevie's just had a slight dig. Sorry, listeners. This is a bit of a joke between the things.
But in the meantime, while Courtney and Chardonnay are watching Tom throw his drinks around, Simon, Steve, Ash and you have all got our pints going, fucking brilliant, this. And we're on our third. While they're still waiting for a group of northerners in there, they want serving drinks. They don't want to watch fucking Tom Cruise throw vodka over everybody.
In it.
Right?
In it. It is a pint you've waited 10 minutes for. £6, please. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And that's why the ticket prices are wrong. And that's why nobody likes Liam Palmer. But I get it.
I like Liam Palmer.
You can't. My old manager said to me, you can't have a team of Wayne Rooney's all the time. This is going back a few years, obviously. And he said, you can't have a team of Wayne Rooney's. You need your Nicky Butts in there. You know what I mean? You need your Dennis Irwins. And you go, I get it. I understand it, that everybody has a different role to play. And yeah, maybe I'm a bit harsh on Liam Palmer. But I feel like if he'd have left 2 or 3 years ago and worked for a really good coach and a really solid club, I think he'd be a great player now. But I don't feel like we as a club have developed him anymore, and we've not nurtured the talent that he could have had. Because bear in mind now, he's in the back end of his 20s. He's, what, 28, 29? And we still look at him like a kid, like, you know, Jesse Lingard gets away with it now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Can I just make one point on that, though?
Go on.
In all seriousness, I'll go to the fact that I think Dunkley's been outstanding. Mm-hmm. I think Johnson's been outstanding.
Yep.
I think Palmer is a better defender than both Dunkley and Johnson. I think technically, the things that Palmer does, I wouldn't worry about Liam Palmer getting the ball at his feet at the edge of the area. You know, if we played out from the back, I would back Palmer over Dunkley. 100% every day of the week. Palmer can play, he can turn, he can bring people into the game. I think he'll, you know, going forwards in possession, he's a better player than Dunkley. I think Dunkley's been our best defender for the last 3-4 weeks. I think he's an absolute monster at the moment. And but I think he deserves all the credit that he's getting. He does everything that a centre-half should do in League One. He'll win his headers, he'll win his tackles, throw his body on the line. We talked about the Peacock Farrell save. I don't know if anybody's seen the tweet that was doing the rounds. Dunkley's made a massive block before it's broken to the lad who's
done the
shot.
They just sat on his ass.
And then just sat there and gone, I've done my job. And it was absolutely phenomenal. He was on a sun lounger, wasn't he? He deserves all the credit in the world, does Dunkley. And it's no criticism of him. But technically, he can't lace Palmer's boots.
Okay, I'll take it.
We're going to agree to disagree.
No, I tell you what, I don't dislike Liam Palmer as a footballer. Yes, he's blocked me on many a social media because I'll be slagging him off on this show for the last 12 seasons. But I over the last 4 or 5...
I'm looking at Ash's face.
That potential mistake.
I've not said hardly anything in the last, 20 minutes. I'm just listening to all you lot.
What, talking about Liam Palmer? Is that it, mate?
There's loads of stuff you've said that I'm just here shaking my head out. But I'll...
Go on, Ash. Go on. Pick
come
on one. Ash.
Come on. Come on.
Pull at that thread.
No.
All right.
Come on. It's a family show.
It's a family show. All right. So I missed... Just
no,
before we
it.
Get to...
No, fuck it. I'm
go on.
No, I hold my hands up and said about... probably 99% of the fans about Johnson, he has been probably the worst player we've signed over the 14 that we did over the summer. But he's had two good games, the last two games, and he has a good game, don't get me wrong. But there's been other players in the past that have had two good games and then got a free transfer to Celtic and sitting their arse doing fuck all. So he's had two good games, and great, two good games. And we need everyone to have good games, but it still don't fact he's not a defender. He's shit. I can go to work and have two good days at work. Don't mean I'm a good manager.
Do you want to come make some cocktails for me, mate? Do you want to?
So I'm still, the jury's out. You can't judge anyone over the 2-3 games. Same with Dunkley.
Yeah, you're right.
He's still a liability. I'm telling you. He's had last two weeks, four games, he's played really well. He has still got he's still a liability. He would not be playing if Iorfa and Hutchinson were fit.
Can I ask a question? Do you think that we've changed the way that we play over the last few games to accommodate him better? Because me personally, I think Dunkley now sits in the middle of Johnson and Palmer. So we've got a right-sided centre-half, a left-sided centre-half, Dunkley in the middle. We're not seeing Dunkley getting the ball from the goalkeeper anymore. We're not seeing him try and play out and bring people into play. For me personally, I'm a fan of what Dunkley's doing at the minute, but the things that are standing out to me aren't his ball playing ability. It's the fact that he's winning his headers and winning his tackles.
Yeah, well, Moore's had to change it because of injuries. And basically, just because Dunkley would not get in. If we, if it, he's not a, a first 11 player, is he? Dunkley.
Well, have we, have we, to, again, devil's advocate, have we found a, by fluke, have we found a style of football, a formation, and a way of playing that suits Dunkley? And by design, by fault, by fluke, again, means that we're actually playing better because we've now got a strong centre half playing centre half.
Let me
unpick
that.
I'm not saying I agree or disagree. Yeah, I'm saying we fall, Johnson's there by accident. Dunkley's there a bit by.
Oh yeah, he definitely got on the wrong bus. He should have ended up at Hillsborough, should he?
Dunkley's there by Jermaine
Jones. Yeah. Dunkley's there by necessity because there's nobody else, and he was the only person that was fit to go and play. And I totally agree with you, Ash. He was the guy that gave the penalty away that effectively cost us a championship, and was, you know, he got absolutely hammered. We signed a player at the back end of the start of last season that we thought was going to be an absolute phenomenon at this level, and it didn't happen. Maybe the championship wasn't his level and maybe League One is. I don't know. I haven't got the answers to that. But I just personally think that Dunkley deserves a lot of credit for the games that he's played. And I take your point. Form is temporary, class is permanent. And it will take, and I'm not going to say that he's suddenly a great defender, but in a month's time or six weeks' time or 8 weeks' time, if he's doing it time in, time out, we can't sit here anymore and go, right, Hutch needs to go in there. Or Iorfa needs to go in there. Because Iorfa's not pulling
it. He's out for weeks.
He's not been pulling any trees up, had he?
No.
Let's be right. Hang on, let me... the start of the season.
Let me unpick that, Steve. Let me just double check a couple of bits here, right? I need to work this out. So you're saying that Moore's changed his tactics and what he expects out of the defence, because what he was doing before, Dunkley was fucking rubbish at it, so he had to change it. That's not a positive thing. That's just him going, you stop doing that because you're bloody rubbish at it. Do you know what I mean? If Moore has a way of playing at the back,
he's got the right stuff. But he's had to do that because of injuries.
I get it.
He's got to play Dunkley, so he's got to make Dunkley look good, which he has found a system that Dunkley is basically, is, as Dan has said for the last 10 years, a shit kicker at the back.
Yeah.
He does his League One defender's job, heads it away, charges balls down, and that he's not doing that shitty passing about. So that's good, but... It's two weeks. I can't see anyone saying, same with Johnson, that is, I hold my hand up, really good, and they've played well where we've needed to, and they needed to, because Johnson was getting pelters, weren't he, from everyone.
Okay. Simon, go ahead, have your say on this, and I'll proper something.
I don't think he's... Right, so Cheltenham game, went to the Cheltenham game, and some of the trying to play it from the back was absolutely abysmal, right? It just fucking rubbish. You know, and they got themselves into some really bad scrapes with it, passing it between the two and inviting Cheltenham onto us, right? And at that point, I thought when we went into the Sunderland game, we're going to get us, you know, our standing into us on a plate. And it's not just a Dunkley the way we're playing; it's that whole way we play is changed, which has actually then on the back of that actually made Dunkley and Johnson improve their play, because we're not forcing them to play it from the back, which isn't their strength. We're being more direct. We're playing the ball forward more. So we're not inviting players to basically close us down, which they can't cope with, and which they couldn't cope with, certainly at the games running up to the Cheltenham game. And the Cheltenham game, I think, for me, was the point where I went away and drove home and thought, I've had enough of this style of play and the manager. Of which then that was changed after the Sunderland game. But as Ash says, you know, one swallow doesn't make a summer. You know, we've only played two games, haven't we, with this slightly different style of play. And in those slightly different style of play, the whole team has actually improved to a way, but certainly in the back three.
Okay, I'm going to deal. I'm going to proffer up a deal here, right? So, if Che Dunkley gets over a 7 in the next 6 games... Yeah, the next 6 games, whichever ones he plays, gets over a 7. I will record.
Whose ratings?
Yeah, this is it. So who does ratings? Do Alex and Joe do them, or Dom Howson? Don't they do them?
It's Dom, I think. Dom does them on the exam.
How would that rating go, Dan? You know, if Don was going to tell us what rating Jay Dunkley had got.
7! Like that, you know what I mean? Right? So that's what it does. So if Jay Dunkley gets a 7 in the net, in or average of 7 over the next 6 games, right?
Yep.
No, 7 and over. Average is shit, because that means he can do a 5 and a 9. I don't want that. If he doesn't drop below a 7 in the next 6 games, I will record a track with Up All Night for Jay Dunkley, based on the, you know, the Pharrell and Daft Punk track. We're up all night for good fun. I'll record it and I'll play it out on the end of the episode for that week. We're up all night for Jay Dunkley. You know what I mean? I can't say further than that. And I can't sing for piss and shit. So that, you know, that's that.
So you're gonna sing it.
I'll sing it. I'll get Lord Ellsworth to do backing tracks. We'll have it. We're up all night for good fun. We're up all night for Jay Dunkley. You know what I mean? What about that?
Well, since we're on the talking of Plymouth, I have to say it was a fair shout from their fans to make the trip up. We've got to get
100%. 100%. 100%.
Having made that trip a few weeks ago and maybe making that trip next week.
Not an electric car, hopefully.
No, not an electric car this week. No, this time. The,
private jet.
Absolutely. 12:15 kickoff, shafted by the ITV. And I think it was well sung as well a few times in the match. 12:15, setting off at like 3 o'clock or whatever it was. I mean, they did bring a few hundred, which was an absolute, I've got to say, it was good. And they made some noise. Fair play to them.
ITV didn't mention that, them getting up really early. They mentioned it a lot. A lot. Right.
Okay, so welcome to the halfway point of the show. This show is brought to you by Michael Constantine Wealth Management. I spoke to him last week. He's all right. Says hello, lads. Yeah. He looks after me money. So yeah.
And we look after his.
And we look after his. So that's it. So we're now going to move on to last night, the affectionately known Pizza Trophy at Harrogate. Very new to league football themselves. We're at home, and Sheffield Wednesday eventual winners at 4-0. Much changed lineup. We gave a debut to, and I want to get this right, Agbontahoma.
Sounds right.
Apologies to the young lads if that's
right.
That's wrong.
I don't want to do any micro racisms by, you know what I mean, calling him a Zonto or something like that. I tell you what,
that Steve, you want his name on your shirt, that's some money to club shop, that.
Isn't it?
Bart Williams. Not having Bart Williams, lad.
Yeah, never allowed Bart Williams. So we also had a run outs for Sila Sow, Kieran Brennan, God, Luongo came back. George Byers scored the park, yep. and Waldock as well, having a bit of time on the pitch. So a much changed side. Some would argue it's a little bit disrespectful to a town like themselves. But 4-0 winners. Ash, come on, man. Positive bounce.
Yeah, man. I really enjoyed it, to be honest, I've got to say. It was good. It was good to see some of the, obviously, younger guys and fringe players play. Really, for me, I mean, the scoreline doesn't give you the tail of the tape. I mean, Harrogate were brilliant, really good in the first half. Absolutely all over. Wildsmith, big props to Wildsmith. Man at match for me. And he
won that. He got man at match, didn't he?
Yeah, but mine's more important, Si. So,
obvs.
God. He made some really good saves and obviously not played much football this season. So,
that slaughtered me. Just the way you slotted it out, like, mine's more important though, Si. And they just carried on what you're doing. That's absolutely dumb me. I don't know why.
Because obviously everyone cares what I think anyway.
Well, we are having.
It was really good. I'm really impressed with him. Probably I was good. I was happy to see Luongo because I really like him. He's just got rich tea legs, and I really like him. Byers scored. Yeah, he looks. It's going to take a few weeks for him to get up to if he gets in the side. That's about it, really. I don't think anyone else really Brennan, obviously, a cracking pass, best pass of the night, even all 90 minutes, not just up to when he did. Cracking pass for the second goal. Shadipo cross, Byers header, bang it in. I thought Waldock, he can go back out on loan for me. He went in for a tackle, and I don't know what, he just went for a knee slide. It was ridiculous.
I just want to bring up a couple of players, and I'll bring them up with one different one for each of you. So Simon, I'm going to give you. God, who was I going to give you? Shadipo.
Oh,
I saw a tweet. I'll tell you about that in a second. Steve, I want to come to you about
Liam Palmer.
About Saido Berahino.
Berahino.
Oh,
I want to ask you about Saido Berahino, and and Ash, I want you to talk about Silasso.
Can you do Brown then? Because I think Brown should be discussed as well.
Disgusting.
Yeah, disgusting. Yeah,
yeah.
I thought Brown did okay. You know what I mean? But I think you're right though. I think the scoreline flattered him because they got in behind us a good few times in that first half. But on Brown's side, you know what I mean?
All the time.
Number 11, I think it's Dorsey.
Dorsey de Domo.
Yeah, he was. I thought he looked quality. He did.
They were really quick on the break.
Yeah,
really quick.
Yeah.
Really quick. Really quick players, and they knew. I think it doesn't help with the young lads at the back, who, I think they only. Brennan had only just come back off loan from wherever, like 2 days before. And I don't know how much training and coaching they've done together. Don't know what sort of formations they played at the other clubs as well. So they've been playing a back four to go to a back three. I think it was expecting a lot on them, but in which case, there were some points it was comedy defending, and it was Wildsmith who just, massive hats off to him. Definitely deserves the Ash man of the match.
The Ash, the man of the mash.
Ash.
That could become a Twitter thing,
Yeah. I think we ought to have awards at the end of the season for you, Ash. Right, so who am I doing? Shadipo.
Now, I saw a tweet yesterday that actually got me thinking. And it said that, and it says, and I'll do the voice, that Shadipo, it reminds me like Jermaine Johnson.
I saw that tweet.
He's done fuck all for 88 minutes, but he's ended up getting two assists.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a fair assumption of it?
Yeah. I enjoyed the game. It was nice to have a night out with the boy. Four goals, great. But I saw this as certain fringe players putting their stamp on getting into the first team. Mm-hmm. So for Shadipo, I was hoping to him to basically run that wing himself and basically run him ragged, and he didn't. No, the quality of the cross by his, I can't remember what the other assist was, to be honest. Was class, was brilliant, was really good. But you know what, mate? If he wants to make a stamp on it on himself and show that he's good enough to be picked for the first team, you've got to perform better than that.
Against a team like those as well. I mean, disrespect to them, they are the highest they've ever been in terms of a league club.
Yeah.
And they are what some people would perceive as punching above their weight. But, they could have got a couple of goals against us yesterday. And Shadipo should have stepped up. And that didn't happen. Steve, now, Saido Berahino played Premier League football, scored at Old Trafford. Scored a tap-in yesterday, so I won't go as far as saying that he's back between the goals and stuff like that. Does he have the potential to be shit?
What do you mean, the potential?
I don't think he has any potential. Does he bring anything that Lee Gregory doesn't? Because I'm a big fan of Gregory. I think Lee Gregory has the same, and this is a hell of a quote to make. I think Lee Gregory has the same natural talent in terms of movement as Gary Hooper. Yeah, he's not Gary Hoopy in terms of finishing all the rest of it, but in terms of knowing how to use his body and know where to be on a pitch, Lee Gregory is outstanding. Saido Berahino, when he played for West Brom back in the day, used to have all the enthusiasm of a 15-year-old kid playing with the 18-year-olds. And then that seems to have gone. He kind of swagged around the pitch. And am I being out of order, Steve? Does he deserve to be a you know, leading the line on that second string?
I have been an advocate of big striker, little striker with, it was previously Gregory and, or Patterson, forgive me, Gregory or Patterson with Berahino off him. Mm-hmm. And I've been dying to see him get a run. I've been dying to see him because let's be right, the first touch he had in a Sheffield Wednesday shirt, effectively he scored a goal. You know, and it ran around, and you know there was an element of excitement. Let's taper it. Let's be realistic. Let's not take the piss here. We've signed a player who 5 years ago, for whatever issues that person had, was being touted a £25 million player. So you are going to take a punt. You are going to have a look at it. You know there's a relationship between Moore and Berahino going back to the West Brom days. I've stuck up for him. I've advocated for him. I've said I wanted him to be in the side. I want him to do, I maintain, I still want him to do really well. He slipped down the pecking order because Canberra took his chance last Tuesday, and he's having chances, or he's getting opportunities, and he's not taking them. And I think some of the way that he plays, it strikes me as being, and I'm loath to be critical of any of our players, but he just strikes me as being quite lazy. He's the equivalent of being the player who is the best player at school on the schoolyard, but when it's not going well for him, he takes his bib off and he chucks it in the corner and goes, "It's not fair. I'm not doing it." And he doesn't seem to be accepting responsibility when things aren't going right. And I hope that makes sense. But I think there's a player in there. I think there's still a lot of talent in there. I think he can still do a bit, and he puts himself about a little bit. But there are other players that are bypassing him now, and he's way down the pecking order in terms of a starting 11. I've seen enough that has excited me. And I know we've talked about the two game versus a sustained period of time. I think we've stumbled on something. We talked about Dunkley earlier. I actually think we've stumbled on something with a shithousing centre forward and a shithousing centre forward in Canberra and Gregory playing together. I think that's something that I think we need to have a look at now, because it's not niche. It's not the fad. It's not the thing that we do anymore. We don't play two big hefty blokes up top. But at the same time, let's be right, Canberra's got a shift in him. Do you know what I mean? He made.
Steve,
I don't know who wore the six for Sunderland last week, but he absolutely tore him a new arsehole.
He was giving him
5-6 yards at a time.
Yeah.
And putting it about. I think
tackling
I made
back
like,
and everything was brilliant.
He's a model. Canberra at the moment is the model for a player that we should all be doing. And I think Gregory has set the benchmark in terms of our attacking player this year. The stats we've talked about are there. He's been absolutely fantastic. Them two together, you can see if you watch them on, you know, in the stand, watching them on the pitch, communicating when the ball's gone dead, they are looking to put something together. And I think, unfortunately, to go back to the first player, Berahino's, he's had his chance and he's not taken it.
I really want to see, just going back to the point I made, obviously, about Johnson and Dunkley, about only playing 2 weeks or a couple of games. Same with Canberra. I really want to see more of him. Like you said, he's Plymouth, he was outstanding. I really, really saw a different side to him that we've seen before. He can hold the ball up, he's strong. He's
deceptively quick, isn't he?
He's really quick, a lot quicker than you think. And his work rate was
superb.
When the defender pressing, and then when it got past him, he trapped back. He tackled a couple of times like the midfielder for Plymouth. I can't remember where he did him a couple of times. I was really impressed. I know we're going back to the previous game, but I want to see more of Canberra, and hopefully. Partnerships. So especially up front, you want to see a partnership that they can play a fair few games together.
Yep.
Get a run of 4 or 5 games. It doesn't matter who we play. Get them playing together. Getting a bit of a like mental togetherness so they know where they are. It all comes from playing. I've been told because I didn't really play. I played Sunday League shit kicker football, but. But just, do you know what I mean? Just to get a partnership together.
The, 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 The first thing when the ball goes out of play, and we've got Gillingham sat, haven't we? The first thing that happens when the ball goes out of play, if they've had a bypass like that, when they've played the last couple of games that I've seen them, Gregory will look at Canberra and say, right, you go there, I'm going there. And there's that communication and that sort of synthesis that seems to be developing. And that can be coached. It's even better when it's authentic and it's natural and they just seem to be able to communicate. And sometimes you can't, you know, you can't coach partnerships, if you like. If that makes sense. People that get on and do well together will do well together. And those sort of typical, you know, the classic Wright and Bright, the classic Sutton and Shearer, or, you know, even though they didn't like each other, Sheringham and Phillips. Cole, Quinn and Phillips, whoever it is, there's just a, you know, there's a thing about it that they, it just clicks. And I've seen enough at the moment to see, like Ash has said, with 3, 4, 5 games, is it something that we can foster, that becomes a bit of a partnership that we've not had in a long time? Because we've had better players playing for Sheffield Wednesday. Hooper is a better player than the lads we've got at the moment, with due respect to the players that we've got. But he never really, for me personally, never really had that. It was never a Hooper and a another. No. Do you know what I mean?
I'll tell you what it is, though, Steve. If you look at those examples you used, they were all late 90s, early 2000s. I feel like the game moved. Yeah. When Mourinho went to Chelsea, the game changed. It changed. The formations changed, and now we're all very much in a 4-3-3 or 4-5-1, however you want to say it, and all the rest of it. And we are now getting strikers up front on their own, trying to dig out their own chances, because the game's changed in terms of the Kevin Keegan era of winning every game 5-4 has now changed to stopping the goals going in one end and winning 1-0 on the other.
Scraping a win.
And stuff like that, because that's the German influence and what they've done. For example, they see winning a game on penalties as a legitimate way of winning a game, and he's right. You know, winning's winning. Yeah. Look at Huddersfield, Wagner's Huddersfield getting promoted without scoring a goal in the playoffs. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel like the game's changed, and I'd love to see partnerships, but I just don't feel like the formation and the way that the game is played nowadays is there for it. However, having said that, I think that League One is very much a 4-4-2 type of league. And just get them out, 4-4-2, Bosch, clout, hit, run, smash, header, in.
But if you create a partnership, like I think we'll see. I mean, Canberra, for me, again, go back to the Cheltenham game. When he came on, the game turned, even though we drew that. Mm. And then obviously he carried on with that similar setup into the Sunderland game. If him and Gregory can form a partnership where it's creating goals, that's what we've got to go with. You can't stop them.
Absolutely.
You know, if you start scoring goals, you'd be fucking stupid to just basically go, you know what, I'm going to drop him, because that's how we're going to get out of this league, is by scoring more goals than anybody else, isn't it? It's simple. We've got to win more games.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at Harrogate as a game, and this is what's interesting about what Steve was saying about partnerships. So I think essentially it was something like a 4-2-3-1. So you've got Longo and Byers, and then you've got Berahino behind and that role, the kids now call it number 10. I was a kid, number 10 was the big lad next to the number 9. Next to Michael Owen. But you know, Lionel Messi's influence now is the number 10, which means in old money, CAM or attacking midfielder, or which implies that there are some midfield duties to be done. And I don't think Berahino is pulling his weight in terms of those midfield duties, because he thinks he's playing up front with Silasau in a 4-4-2, and he in. Because he's gone to Belgium, played shithouse football for the last couple of years. You know, he's still a player that went 913, Christ knows how long, you know, not scoring a goal. And I just don't think he's pulling his weight. And I think he thinks that he's doing us a favour by playing for us at this level, when really, we are his level. If not, we're bigger than his level. Would you agree?
I agree. I totally agree that you've just surmised what I've said, or summarized what I wanted to say in 10 minutes in about 20 seconds. I totally agree with you, Dan. I think he's got the ability. I do. I don't think I've seen enough players that have played at a level and then come out of the game and watch them play. They can still play. You don't lose that, but there's something upstairs that goes. The ability stays, the mentality goes. And I think his mentality at the minute isn't there. And I don't know if he's seeing this as a stepping stone to getting back into, at his age, what, 28, 29, if we get up, is he then going to be looking at a Middlesbrough, West Brom? Forgive me, I can't even tell you who's at the top of the Championship at the moment, but those teams are in the top six. Those teams that are up there, is he looking for a shift back up there to finish his career off in the Midlands somewhere? Is he looking at one last blast at a team like a Norwich or a Leeds or whoever it is that's round about the relegation area? I don't know what he's there for, but at the minute, he's not here doing what he needs to be doing.
If he wants to do that, he should put he's perceived at the minute to be, like you said, Steve, lazy. If he wants to do that, I would love him to bang 25 goals in for us and get his move to Middlesbrough or whoever next season. Exactly. Right? Yes, of course, I'd like to keep him on and whatever, but if he does great for us, but if you want to better yourself, you've got to put the work in, haven't you?
Yeah.
So if he doesn't seem to be putting the work in for himself, he knows that. Yeah.
Ash, but what he's doing, he's come here to do that. He's come in to go, do you know what? I'm going to do them a favour. I'll play for them. I'll smash it up. Then I'll get my big move. And then it's not gone his way. And he's done exactly what Steve said right at the start of it and gone, oh, they're not playing right, Dad. Chucked his bib off and gone to stand on the side, chucking abuse at everybody while everybody's trying to dig him out one. You know what I mean? What he's going to end up doing is going to end up going back to Belgium like he has been with his tail between his legs, where he's still not being very prolific either. But again, he's been playing attacking midfield or whatever. I don't know. He's been playing that number 10 role. That, can I just say this? The shirt number does not denote the position. Can we stop it off? Can we stop it? Number 10 does. The only one I'd agree with is number one. But who says number one? No. Number 10 can mean it's just a position. Number 10 to me, because I'm a child of the 80s and 90s, means the big lad next to the little number 9. Think Shearer and Owen. Think Eske and Owen. You know what I mean? That's what number 10 is. Get in the bin. Any road. Let's move on. Ash, Silasor, right?
Moving on to prolific strikers. Yeah, cheers for that.
Prolific strikers. Now, that's why I did Steve first. Do you believe that Silasor has got more of a shout to be in the first team and get a lion's share of Saido Berahino's first team game time?
I believe Silla Black has got more chance to be in the first team than Silla Sal.
He's been sat on that since 10 past eight.
Yeah, he's done really well. Yeah.
Yeah. Three weeks ago.
Oh, is that
that's
it?
It? That's it. What is it? He ain't a footballer. Come on. He played under 23s, was it Newcastle? Under 21s, Newcastle? In the Papa John's 23s, weren't it?
Yeah.
Played in that. We've not really seen him in the first team. He's played Harrogate. Played against Mansfield as well. So if you look at the games he's played in, he's a more pizza delivery driver than he is a footballer. I don't get him. I really don't. I don't get what his redeeming features are. Do you know
what about Silasor? Is that still what we're talking about?
Yeah, all right, go on.
We're not on about Berahino. I was like,
they are same could apply.
Is he not a right winger? Is he not a winger rather than a striker?
I don't know.
I think I'd probably be more positive if he'd scored that second one when he was one on one with the keeper.
We've signed him. When we signed him, we said he was going to be a winger, an attacking winger. An attacking wide player with an ability to play up front. The problem is when you sign these attacking wingers that can play up front, or you sign these strikers that can play out wide,
they sit better on the wing.
Yeah, exactly. When you sign a player that can do this, but can do that becomes the problem.
Yeah,
and he came on Sunday and played through the middle. He played last night through. Essentially, he was off, but playing through the middle largely. Second half. I'm stealing Ash's thunder. Forgive me. Just to make a point, for me, we've signed 14 players Ash has said earlier on, he thinks Johnson's the 14th. We could argue whether Johnson or So are the 14th.
Yeah.
I think he's necessary in the squad, because if we don't have him in the squad, we're looking down the subs bench, and we're taking an under 23 lad from, or a lad from the academy, and we're supplementing it. He was necessary, and you had to pluck these players and get them in there, yeah, and get players on them. But he's not a starting 11 player, no, for me, unfortunately. He might become that, but at the moment, like we've said, we talked about Dunkley. Dunkley were miles off it 2 months ago. Johnson weren't a player 2 months ago. All of a sudden, we turned Johnson into a frigging centre-half. Dunkley's the second coming of, you know, Rio Ferdinand. But it happens by fluke. And the only way that Siliso is going to get into the team at the moment is if Corbyn gets
surprise,
injured.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Boom.
You thought you were coming to Willsborough to get married in the 1867 suite. However,
you're not. You're playing left. You're playing left wing.
Your dad's come all the way. Australia. Oh, that's how she speaks. Any road. Right. Okay. So, turns out we're not having any of them, Ash, yeah?
Siliso is... Nah, I've not seen enough. But I know he's, once again, minutes into it, or can we say competitive games minutes. But even in the minutes I've seen him, nothing at the minute. But I totally understand and get what Stevie said about getting bodies in the door at summer. And yeah, on paper, you looked at it and he was like this... Dutch guy coming over, an attacking winger, and it thought, actually, yeah, could look good. Unfortunately, not yet. But then again, like you say, what's happened to Johnson and Dunkley? They are on the verge of England caps.
Walking football. I think overall, though, for the game itself, I think the disappointing thing was that he played players there. I think, obviously, Luongo and Byers were there to get the fitness up. He had a few of the young guys who aren't at this moment in time going to be knocking on the door to get in the first team. But there were players there who theoretically have been purchased on loan, whatever they are, who are, you know, could be knocking on the door to be in the first team. So they had to go and impress. And I think the disappointing thing that came out of the game last night was that those players who, Jaden Brown, Berahino, Shadipo, Sow, they did not impress. They had a team in front of them that are what, a League Two, that the highest position ever been in. You know, they had the chance to show these, how many of them were there? 5,000, whatever they were there, you know, to prove that they are good enough to get in the first team. And they didn't. And that was what was disappointing from last night.
That's, I've just found something out that's absolutely blown my mind. Sorry. Thank you, chaps. That's sorted out one side of the pitch. I need to tell you this story. Actually, this is really weird. So a few years ago, I've mentioned it before, me and my mate Dan went on a tour of a few games around Holland. We did three games in 3 days, and one of those was FC Utrecht against Heracles Almelo. And I've seen Siliso play football for FC Utrecht, which was his only appearance for FC Utrecht, and it was an 81st-minute substitute for one and only, Irvi Emanuelsson, who played...
Wow.
For
oh, wow. Oh, my God.
I went to a random game in Holland and seen two ex-Wednesday players. Well, if one of them counts, what, so you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't even realise that, so, yeah. So that's a bit of information for you. I'm going to get Emanuelsson's name on the back of my Utrecht shirt.
And if any of the listeners have got tenuous links like that, seen some random Sheffield Wednesday player or ex-Wednesday player in some backstreet Finnish third division, I don't know, whatever.
I saw
went to Luxembourg once and saw an ex-Blackburn player playing for what used to be Spora Luxembourg, which are now called Luxembourg. So anyway, right, let's move on. Right, we're into the last 5 minutes. Let's talk about the upcoming Gillingham game. We're bigger than Gillingham. Yeah, can't deny it. What about that? Eh? Bit of song for you.
I really do hope, Shay.
Shout out Dunkley. Please have a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, no, I shouldn't for say Christ's that.
Right, okay, let's get the predictions in, chap. So, Simon, Gillingham, what are you saying?
Okay, now.
This is shit. Like, who knows? Who fucking knows? Like, what's that they're going? I don't think we're going to get Morecambe.
We should, you know what we should really do? We should really get, like, some, like, person from, like, I don't know, Gillingham who knows some about it and says, well, actually, we're a really good team and we're going to spank you and we've got X, Y, Z and we're just going to go.
Yeah.
Well, they're sat 19th in the league. Sat at 19th in the league, a point off relegation zone. 1-3, drawn 7, lost 6.
3-0 Gillingham incoming, isn't it?
Yeah.
God, I'm such a negative sod.
I'm going, oh God, 1-0 Wednesday.
1-0 Wendy, smash.
I'm going to go 3-1 Wednesday. I think we've got the momentum. We've obviously proved we can score more than 2 goals in a game after last night. But still, there's always we're going to go 3-0 up and then we're going to concede and then everyone's going to go, bloody hell, it's happening again. I'm going to put a tenner on Wednesday draw and win again. So,
lump on 3-3.
Yeah, I've done it a few times.
We've got a sports psychologist now, though, haven't we?
Yeah, it's Clinton Baptiste.
I'm getting a word.
All right.
All right.
Which ties nicely into my tweet earlier yesterday. Anyway, that does.
Well, what's that?
I just tweeted about the Harrogate support and that they brought
more than Rotherham.
and someone replied. A Rotherham fan replied, "I'm getting the word." And I'm obsessed. And I was like, that's the wrong catchphrase, mate. You could have picked any catchphrase out of it and you've just
done really badly.
Really bad, yeah.
Done really badly. Okay.
And then he followed us on Twitter as well.
Win's a win, mate. Bless controversial him. Or not. Let's do who's better. You know, Chris Waddle or Jermaine Johnson or something. Like, you know what I mean? Follow us. Interaction.
Yeah, we've got to do that again. That was brilliant. Yeah.
I keep thinking one every morning. I'm racking my brains. I'll find one eventually.
Yeah, I'll go 3-1. I'll go 3-1.
Who's better? Ian Nolan or Danny Jones from 2010? In fact, Danny Jones is probably the only trap player from 2010 that's not featured on the Wednesday Till I Die podcast.
Oh. Is he the guy busted?
Yeah, busted. Danny Jones.
That's him. Also, the name of the manure truck in Back to the Future, the first one. All right. So, listen to Dan Fudge. I've got two more things I want to tell you. First one, I want to say happy birthday.
Do I not get a prediction?
Oh. Well, then, what do you want?
You said 3-0.
You said 3-0.
No, he said 3-0 incoming when I said 3-1. I'll back you up, okay. Steve, mate.
No, because I was going to be really serious, and
it's gone. Go on.
Be serious.
Go on.
I think it's game of the season.
What?
I really do think it's the most important game of the season on Saturday.
For whom? Darren Moore? Our promotion push for the fans? What do you think?
For us as fans, for Darren as the manager. Not so much for the players because we'll still go back to the whole fucking tombola. Let's draw whatever out. After Sunderland, we've managed to navigate through Harrogate last night, Plymouth on Sunday. If we win on Saturday, that upturn, that sort of upward sort of bounce, we'll be there on it. And everybody's going to be, depending on other results, we will be in and around the playoffs. Everybody will be talking about this many points off top of the league. Everything's fine and dandy. Darren Moore knew what he was doing all along.
Not lost in 10.
Exactly.
Do you not think that is any win, though, Stevie? You know, as fans, like any win, we always go, that's great.
Because it's always so tight, though. I mean, last season, every time, do you remember we smashed Cardiff 5-0? We were all like, staying up, lads. Staying up.
I don't.
It's happening.
I don't, because we've gone 9 unbeaten. And the 9 unbeaten that we've gone, if you go back to 6 unbeaten, we were still fucking drawing with Cheltenham or whatever was going on. And there was still that negativity. All of a sudden, we've gone from having drawn at Cambridge, having drawn at Cheltenham, having drawn with Wimbledon, we've beat Sunderland, we've beat Harrogate, we've drawn with Plymouth, who are top of the league in the FA Cup, getting a replay. And we've now got 19th place Gillingham, where we've got a chance of going out and putting another statement in and getting up the league. So the positivity is there. If we win on Saturday, it's another layer on the snowball, isn't it? Would, if you like.
So what's yeah, the prediction? Would,
yeah, sorry, go on.
Prediction. I don't know. we're going to win 3-0.
Speak so well, does Stevie. Speak so well.
I speak well, but I don't know all.
Yeah, amazing.
Bullshit baffled brains.
Right, so yeah. I need to do two things just before we go. So I just want to say happy birthday to my father. He's a Rugby United season ticket holder, so, you know, fuck him, but also I love your dad. And second one, he's 60 today, my old fella, and I think he's just realised how old he is. Like, but sod him, he's in Lanzarote having a lager. He's absolutely gattered. My stepmom keeps putting pictures on Facebook and they're getting funnier as time goes on. You know what I mean? And the second one is Vic would go mental at me if I didn't mention that Sheffield Wednesday have finally signed up to the hashtag #HerGame2 movement. So there should be some comms coming out on that. Keep an eye on Vic's feed. And if you don't know anything about it, which I don't know enough, if I'm honest, because I've had my head in the sand for the last few weeks, but it's something I want to get involved with and want to take a look at. But yeah, Sheffield Wednesday are now involved in #HerGame2. I think Ash probably had a word with his mates on the WhatsApp group that he's got. And Vic's went up and gone, oh, death on chance area. Are you going to get involved in this? And he's gone, what's up, Vic? What do you need? Come round for a cup of tea. And that's what's happened. And then they've all
you
got
to shoe on that in well, Dan.
Shoe on it on really. And I got my first impression of Vic in. So that's nice, isn't it?
I didn't notice Vic, a difference.
I know, innit?
Yeah, thought innit? She was in the room. Yeah.
Right, okay, thank you for abiding with us. My apologies for my absence, because I know, you know, the Dan Fudge fans are out there somewhere, you know they are.
That geezer at Wimbledon.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you fandom. Dan Fudge?
Fanboy.
I've so been doing this are, show. Mate,
thank you for that, it made my day.
That's I've so had... made your day, Dan. That's
I've been
so
doing this show for
day.
11 years and I got my first recognition. I absolutely loved it.
Man, you were smiling from ear to ear. He loved it.
Bless him, this poor kid came over and he went, are you Dan Fudge off at Wednesday week? And I was like, I was trying to have a sneaky fag and a pint, like, you know what I mean? And I went, yeah. And
the fact that I was stood right next to him and he totally blanked me, it was brilliant.
Yeah, me. I was stood there as well. It's like, he looked through his ash, didn't he? As if we weren't there.
I didn't know what to say. So clearly I'm the favourite. And we'll join us next week for the Dan Fudge show. Thanks a lot for joining us. See you later.
The Wednesday Week. Five friends, one football club, and about six jokes they just repeat over and over and over and over and over.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Automatic delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later!
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.